In Hebrews chapter 6, can we open it? Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. If you are there, there's something, an admonishment from Apostle Paul. I read the first three verses there. And he says, therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits. And so Apostle Paul is saying, let us move forward. Perfection there is maturity. He said, let's move on to maturity. Christian maturity. Hallelujah. It's time to move on, move forward. Move on to perfection. And in a church like this, if you ask every member here concerning the doctrine of Godhead, no problem. Don't believe in Trinity. And they can tear it down for you from the Bible. Water baptism, that one, even for dream, you can preach it. No problem. Amen. Hallelujah. And even operation of the gifts of the Spirit. A lot of churches are still fusing about whether God they still prophesies, miracles still take place. But in this ministry, you know, we are past that level. Amen. We are past that level. We know God knows your name and knows the name of your village. And this church, he has proved it to us. But Apostle Paul here is saying, and I'm saying with Apostle Paul too, that it is time for us to move on to maturity. Christian maturity. He called all this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you read the first three verses there, he called it milk, milk, milk. He said, I have fed you with milk, milk. There is, when a little, as newborn babes, when you born a little child, his first food is milk. Because his system cannot yet take strong food. Can't eat a bar. Can't chew, in fact, no teeth to even chew meat. And so you continue to feed, and spiritually too. And so many of us, and of course, every Christian, when you are born again, attention is given on the type of food you eat so that you can grow step by step, step by step, step by step. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the time comes when you are expected to grow. And Apostle Paul expected the Christians of that early age to grow beyond that milk level. And so in Hebrews chapter 5, if you read it from verses 12 to 14, he was admonishing the church there. He was telling them that when you should be teachers yourself, you still have need to be taught. How did he know it? He was looking at their level of spiritual growth. He was looking at the actions around. And in this church, in fact, this church can perfectly be called the Corinthian church. Because every carnality that is displayed in the Corinthian church, you see it in this ministry. Letting us know that we have a group of people that are not moving forward in their spiritual life. It shouldn't be so. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No, it shouldn't be so. There must be spiritual development. You must develop spiritually. You can't remain in one level. You can't. A young sister that I saw today, this morning in my office, enjoying her revival, just not long ago received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and a prophetic gift is upon her. She's enjoying that. Oh, she's quick to make a vow before the Lord. I have vowed that no man will sleep with me till I marry my husband. Wonderful. I love that. And I was telling her in the presence of her mother this morning, I said, that is what I want to achieve in my ministry. I want to come to a level, my desire, my ambition, my wish is that every true member of this church, every member of this church, we have a personal experience of this God we serve. Whenever we tell you about the reality of God, let it not just be somebody hearing us speak. Now, I was telling that sister, if I tell you that maybe you are looking for a job, and you come to me and I pray for you and you receive a job, praise God. I say, you will praise the Lord. Ah, I came to Pastor Moses, he prayed and I received a job. I said, you have not yet experienced that God. Therefore, when next there is trouble in that job you have gotten, you'll be looking for Pastor Moses. And if you cannot find Pastor Moses, you may lose that job because you could not find Pastor Moses. Your faith is now on Pastor Moses. Why? Because you have not yet received a personal experience with God. Like I was telling that sister this morning, I said, if they tell you now that there are angels, you will say yes. Why? You have seen it. If they tell you that God talks to you, talks to people, you will say it's true. Why? Because God has spoken to you. I was asking her, she said, I said, how are you? How was your experience like? She said, well, she observed, God tells her people's problems and tells her what to do. And she discovered when she does what the Lord tells her to do, that the people always testify. And so I said, that is wonderful. Now you have experience. But I also told her something, that with so much invested in you, to whom much is given, I said, not just expected, much is demanded by God. But the important aspect there is, I told her that you are not supposed to go down in your spiritual life. Church, anybody that has had that experience, listen. You are supposed to move from level to level. You are supposed to go higher and higher. You must not remain in the same level, and you should not go lower. You are supposed to watch your spiritual life. That is evidence you have received life. Anything that has life does not remain stagnant. It gets better and better and better. Your spiritual life is supposed to be better today than it was yesterday. It's supposed to be better this month than it was last month. It must be like that, or something is wrong with the kind of experience you have. And there's something about God. There's something about this God that's interesting. The more you know Him, the more mysterious He becomes to you. The closer you are to God, the more interesting He becomes, and the more mysterious He becomes, which makes you desire the more to know Him and know Him the more. And no true experience keeps you stagnated. No true experience. If you are a preacher, you are exercising any gift at all, in evangelism, in the preaching gift like some of us do, in the prophetic gift, in the intercessory gift, whatever gift you operate, you are supposed to grow higher and higher and higher and higher. you cannot remain in the same level. So if there is anybody in the same level now, you better wake up. Go on to maturity. You, the preacher. Hallelujah. A lot of people that believe the enter message is a message of a set of rules. Don't wear trousers. Don't paint. Don't palm. Don't. It's not a message of do's and don'ts. It's not. It's a message that soaks us into deeper things of God. Gets you to know God deeper and deeper and deeper. And how do I know the depth of your revelation of the God you serve? By their fruit, we will know them. And the evidence is not in the abundance of the things you possess after you became a Christian. It's more than that. It's more than that. That I'm riding a new car. I built a new house. That I have a child. After 20 years of marriage. Miracle child. That fibroid removed. That this and that. Oh, it's wonderful. It's benefit of Calvary. But that is not the evidence you are a true Christian. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that you just pray. Immediately you pray. Oh Lord, let rain fall today. Before you finish saying Jesus, the rain begins to fall. Does not mean you are a matured Christian. Maturity is not determined by the miracles that take place around you. No. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And how do we grow? How do we mature? 1 Peter chapter 2, the first three verses there, he admonishes us, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Your growth comes from the amount of the word of God inside of you. The amount of the word of God you receive determines the type of Christian you will be. Hallelujah. It's true. There is an adage that says empty drums make the loudest noise. Amen. Hallelujah. When you see somebody, for instance, stands and is telling you, look, as they see me, so I'm a Christian, no? I'm a Christian, I'm born again, no? That is evidence it's not born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have never seen anybody stand before an animal and is telling an animal, look, you animal, I'm a human being, no? I will show you I'm a human being. No, the animal already knows you are not an animal. How? By looking at you, he knows you are a human being. So why are you announcing you're a human being? Any human being that tries to tell any other human being that they see me, so I'm a human being, is a lie, is an animal trying to fit in among human beings. So he's announcing that he's a human being so that he'll be accepted among human beings. But a human being is a human being. Anywhere he goes, he's a human being. So it is with a Christian. It's the life you live that speaks who you are. It's not a signboard you write anywhere. You don't carry label, I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I was telling that young sister today. I said, you see, me and you now, if we go any place and there is a witch around, I said, the first person they will attack will be you. You know why? Because there is something around you that they will see. They know that you will soon discover say witch they here. They know you will soon expose them because they know you will see them. That is why gifted people suffer a lot. Especially those who have that prophetic anointing, the gift of the word of knowledge. Those who see vision. Then they suffer. Ah! If they enter bus, any witch they there, the fire around them will be burning the witch. Because anywhere darkness is, if light enter, darkness must go. And the witch may not know that you are just sitting down there innocently. You don't even take note of her. They begin to attack you. You have not gone to the market. You want to buy pepper somewhere? Gifted sisters? Anybody here? And as you say, how much? You will say, go, waiting, go. I no sell, eh? Go your way. Ah, waiting up. I say, how much? He say, hey, carry your trouble, go. Another day. Who has ever experienced it? It's common, yes, it's common. Why? But if people like us, why don't they see? If we go, no problem. We go sit down, we go talk, no problem. Because the thing where we get, not the trouble them. Amen. In fact, we not even get the thing where they trouble them. But you that you are gifted. And so a gifted sister may be wondering, a gifted brother may be wondering, how can God be using me and still allow me to undergo these battles? That's one of the secrets. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You have to know the word of God. It helps in your spiritual growth. I want to say quite some things this morning that will help us. Hallelujah. The growth, 2 Peter chapter 1. Can we read it? This is how you are supposed to grow according to Apostle Peter. Now, amen. If you are there, verse 5. Are we there? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. To your faith. What should you add to your faith? Virtue. And to your virtue, what should you add? And to your knowledge, what should you add? And to your temperance, what should you add? And to patience, what do you add? Godliness. After godliness, add to godliness what? Brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, what should you add? Add charity. Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual maturity, spiritual development. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I read that verse 8 again. If these things, what are those things? Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. If this is being you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is what? Blind and cannot see afar off. And has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Knowledge is important. You are clean. You don't commit sin again. That is virtue. Anywhere you go, you are respected. Your testimony is wonderful. You don't lie. You don't smoke. You don't, you know. Oh, holiness is your watchword. He said, add to that virtue knowledge. The reason is, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. 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 Ye shall know the truth. Hallelujah. Ye shall know the truth. Knowledge again. And the truth that you know shall make you free. And the Bible says somewhere, he said that he that wandereth, in Proverbs somewhere, he that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall abide in the congregation of the dead. Knowledge is important. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The difference between Moses and the children of Israel, they were in the wilderness, supposedly following the pillar of fire, following the angel of the Lord, following the message of their day from the bondage of Egypt to the freedom given to them in the promised land. And in Psalm 103 verse 7, the Bible says that the Lord made known his ways to Moses and made known his acts to the children of Israel. Now there are two different things. Moses knew the ways of God, but the children of Israel only knew his acts. And it's very interesting, you saw the difference between the two of them. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Moses knew the way God revealed his way. That is the way he deals with his people, the way he deals with his children, the way he deals with mankind. Moses was informed, well informed, was revelated. But all the children of Israel saw was miracle. And that is the position of so many people, even in this church this morning. All you know about God is a miracle working God. If I ask, amen, come and see prayer programs, the church will fool. He will say, come for Bible study. How many people will come? How many people will come for Bible study? And studying the Bible is studying the ways of God. If you want to see God in action, you go to pray. But remember, 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will there is according to his way, he heareth us. And our lack of understanding of God's way is what I want to help somebody out of it. Our lack of understanding can bring frustration. It can get a Christian to be backsliding. Your lack of understanding of God's way will make you live an underprivileged life. We give you unnecessary hypertension that comes from frustration. It removes the peace of the Lord from you. They will call it the joy of your salvation. The devil, when he knows you don't know the ways of the Lord, he can bring frustration upon you. First and foremost, ensure that you are a child of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching the disciples how to pray, he said, when you pray, pray like this. The first statement he made, he said, our Father who art in heaven. He started by saying, our Father. That is his own way of telling you, you have to be his child first before you can approach him. your father first. Amen. You are not a child of God and you are going to him and calling him my father. He will look at you. There's nothing connecting me and you. That's why he says, start with it first. Our father. Recognize him as one you have a relationship, father-son relationship with. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So many of us, like this songwriter says, we've tried to live our best. We have tried to live the best we can. We have stopped drinking. The sister says she has stopped wearing trousers and painting. She's making all the sacrifice. She even drove away her drunken boyfriend. She has stopped fornication. He has stopped going to beer parlor. And all the nonsense he used to do, he has stopped it. Every day he's in the church. In fact, he's the one that gives him his tithe more than anybody. He pays his tithe to the last kobo. Everything the sponsor in the church is number one to be there. He knows what he's doing to sacrifice. No service does he ever miss. No church program does he ever miss. In fact, out of 7 days of the week, 6 days in the fast. Maybe there's somebody like that. Every day, I'm always in the street preaching. But why is nothing working around me? And anytime I kneel down to pray, a voice will say, my daughter, I have heard you. Which voice they call my daughter when they see my problem?
God's attributes were manifested to his pride and his blessing. We have proper revelation, paralyzed from this message. Can we know who we are and what we're in them for? Praise the Lord. Here is your life. Here is your life. Here in the word, it's what I believe, the Son of God, in every blood, seven seas, I'm staying here in your life. Here in the sea, we are the word made flesh today, this is what the scriptures say, and I name the sea within.
Maybe that is your grumbling. That is your problem. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 30. Hallelujah. There's nothing new I'm saying. It's something we always say here. But maybe while I was saying it before, your problem covered your ears. You couldn't hear well. May you hear today in the name of Jesus. Are we there? Proverbs chapter 30. Verse 18 and 19. And you try to underline it because you will go back and you will ponder over these scriptures. He said, there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The first one is the way of an eagle in the air. The second one is the way of a serpent upon a rock. The third one is the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. And the fourth one, the way of a man with his girlfriend, a maid. Hallelujah. Now the first one, each of them, hallelujah, is a sermon. These are four things. Each of them is a sermon for a Christian. But let's just look at one. The first one, the way of an eagle in the air. Not just an eagle standing somewhere, that eagle has to be in the air. And you know, the eagle is a symbol of the anointing we are following in this ministry. Because that is what is in Revelation chapter 4. That is the fourth beast there. And every one of us here that received the Holy Ghost and this end time message, we are supposed to be eagles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Remember, Moses knew the ways of God. We want to look at one of the ways of God that will help you. Because when you look at the eagle, hallelujah, the way of an eagle, we're looking at the unusual life of a Christian. The unusual life of a Christian is this way, the way of an eagle in the air. Now remember, the eagle we know is a bird, but it is the strongest of all the birds. And it is the fastest, it flies the fastest of all the birds. It also flies to the highest, it flies the highest of all the birds, the eagle. And the storm in the air that will destroy other birds in the air is the storm that the eagle will ride comfortably on. Why? Because of the nature of his wings. The wings are built to withstand storms. I'm talking about the way of a Christian. And as I'm speaking, spiritual people will understand it deeper than what I'm even saying. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The higher the eagle flies, the clearer his vision becomes. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And the type of food, amen, the type of food the eagle eats, he eats only fresh manna, fresh meat. He doesn't eat rotten food. It's vultures that gather around dead food. Dead food, dead food. If you belong to a congregation that says the days of miracle, they are gone, that is a congregation of vultures. Vulture. Amen. Eagles want to know more about God. More about revelation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And if you read Job chapter 39, amen, verse 27 to 30, if you read that, it explains where the eagle goes to build her nest. When it is about time for that eagle to lay her eggs, she doesn't just go anywhere to lay that egg. The scripture tells us it will go on top of a mountain. Why a mountain? A high mountain. Remember, he normally flies very high. He will go on top of a mountain and prepare his nest there. Why? That is where the babies, hallelujah, they stay and they become no-go areas for Satan. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 2 that we are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. A true Christian, you are seated with Christ Jesus. We are in heavenly places. And the Bible says Christ is seated far above principalities and powers. But do you have that knowledge? Apostle Paul said, my life is hid with Christ in God. That's a very deep statement. Let me be sure. Am I talking to Christians? Born again Christians, can I see your hand? Okay, you will understand me. Apostle Paul said, if you are born again, he said, my life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, that assures me salvation. That assures me safety. Then you can understand why he says, no weapon of the enemy fashioned against me shall prosper. Because before you can, your desire concerning me, the evil desire concerning me, before it can come to pass, you will have to tear God first, then go and meet Christ there, tear Christ again, then bring me out there. Oh, I'm telling you the position of a Christian. It is not anointing. Satan is more anointed than anybody in this church. If Satan is moving for divine healing, you will see miracle here now. Nyafu, nyafu. But he's still Satan. He's not a child of God. He's a devil. So the assurance that we have is knowing your position in Christ. That he, through Christ, we have been given a spirit of adoption. He said, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. A son-father relationship exists by the reason of him adopting us as his children. Therefore, we mean more than mere worshippers of God to God. The position we occupy, the position is higher than those of angels. I don't know how I will let you know this. The position a child of God occupies in the scheme of things is far, 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 far higher than those of angels. An angel is a servant. You are a child, a son, a daughter of God. Now, if you don't catch this revelation, then you can imagine, you begin to believe the devil ministering to you, that a time can come when God will forsake you. No, see where he prepares us. Far above principalities and powers, where he nurtures us, when he's going to deliver us. The eagle we got on the top of that mountain, and when he makes that nest where he will lay his egg, he puts a lot of cushion inside. He put a lot of fine feathers inside. He makes it so comfortable. But remember, what he uses to make that nest outside is rough. It's made of sticks that he put together, stick, stick, stick. But the young ones that are hatched, they all have the wonderful cushion. Sometimes they tumble, brrr, cushion, but they don't know that outside there, chuk, chuk, there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 2 says he has blessed us. Ephesians 1 2. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When it is time to eat, and that is where so many of us get confused. The eagle, after he has made that nest there, hatched the younger eaglets, because that's food for them. He will go and kill an animal, kill another bird, fresh meat. He will bring it on top of that rock where snake cannot get there. No other bird can even get there. And then, not only that, he brings the food, he begins to feed them from mouth. That's where we get the word spoon feeding. Same thing with a mother. A mother that cherishes children, especially those women that stay long before they get picking. Oh, if they see mosquito on top of that child, you're asking how I take no? If they see mosquito on top of that child, if that child refuses to eat, the mother can't eat. I'm sure that is where I think his name is Chris Mba. Sweet mother, I'm not gonna forget you for the suffer way you suffer for me. Amen. That's why in America you have Mother's Day, where the whole country dedicates one day to remember motherhood. Because if not for your mama, you won't be alive now. Praise the Lord. If a human being can take care of you like that, hallelujah, how much more God that demonstrated his love when he sent his only begotten son to the cross on Calvary, not to die for himself but to die for his other children. The Bible says we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. The position Christ occupies, we occupy it also. Oh, sometimes sit down and search for your position in God. Search the Bible. Don't only look at this sign shall follow them that believe. Don't only look at that scripture. Don't only look at no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. Don't only look at suffer not a wish to live. No, those scriptures. No, look, when you get to deeper scriptures, you won't bother about quoting those ones. You won't bother about them. When you know who you are, a child of God. Who is this God that has made me his child? The owner of the universe, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the owner of all things that exist, spiritual, physical, seen, unseen. The great God that has no beginning, has no end. The all-knowing God. The one that has the last say concerning all the affairs of the universe. That is my Father. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May somebody catch that revelation today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the mother that continues to spoon feed that baby, that's where Apostle Paul is going to. And that is what God also wants us to understand now by the way of the ego. The mother will not always feed that child with spoon. After some time, she even gets tired of carrying that baby. You go begin the circle. You're not gonna walk. Amen. He expects the baby to grow, to be able to even reach a stage where he'll be able to take care of himself. He will know when to go to toilet. He will know how to go, you know, and it's time to eat. He will grow to a stage where you have to go and look for your own food to eat. There will be a time when that baby will still enter the papa kitchen to carry food to eat. And another time we call when the papa will say, "It don't do. Go for your house." So it is also with God, demonstrated by the eagle. Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Joshua chapter 5. Amen. In Joshua chapter 5. There's a statement that is made there. And it's very easy to just sweep over that statement. But that is the truth. Verse 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Joshua chapter 5. Verse 12. Let me read from verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening in the place of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, on leavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Catch something there. In the wilderness they were hungry. They had no farm. Without going to work, without going anywhere, when they wake up in the morning, food nyafu nyafu everywhere. without going to farm, without going anywhere, they just go and pack it and eat throughout the journey until they reach Jericho, the first point of call in the promised land. After they destroy all those people, there was a lot of old food that was left. They ate and ate and ate all the food they found in the land. But after that, the Bible says that manna that used to fall, it didn't fall again. Why? They have now reached the promised land. They now have to obey the law, the law of sowing and reaping. It was time now for them to now apply God's principles, because manna will not always fall from heaven. Manna fell to demonstrate the reality of God. Now you must declare your faith, your independence. You must now operate under what unbelievers call natural laws. Now you have to apply the God-given laws. If you must eat, then you must go to farm. You must work. And it is what you sow that you reap. If you don't sow anything that year, you are still waiting for miracle to come. And maybe you are sitting down there and saying, why has God forsaken us? Why are the manna not falling again? You wake up in the morning, you open your door, whether you see something as usual, nothing. Has God forsaken them by that action? Answer me. By that action, was God punishing them? Why he withdrew manna, was he punishing them?
Yes, you heard correctly. The bride now gathers at the Bride Assembly, Lagos Church. Bible days are back again.